welcome to another episode of Laughing Matters with Robert Brill, brought to you as always by Stand Up Records. Check them out online, standuprecords.com, standupcrap.com. There you can buy a copy of my album, Sex and Politics. Still relevant. Still never going out of style, those things. And my guests today, Dana Ali, Greg Coleman. Yeah. Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Thank you.
Having us.
And before we get into the topics for the day, let's do plugs. Any shows? Greg, you can go first. What do you got coming up?
This is airing tonight.
Tonight, 7 p.m.
All right, 7 p.m. So after you listen to us.
Greg is double-fisting microphones right now
for
all our
listeners. Too many options. I got microphones and I got two headphones just in case. And I got two shows tonight at Acme Comedy Company. So you turn us on at 7, and then you drive in the car, and you get out the car right at 8 o'clock, and then you come into the show or come to the 10:30 show. So I'll be at Acme tonight and House of Comedy next week.
AcmeComedyCompany.com for tickets, houseofcomedy.net. Who are you at Acme with?
I am with Drew Michael.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, Drew Michael, very talented comedian, and also Mike Early.
Oh.
Very talented.
Yeah, comedian, absolutely. So, yeah, so. Dark humor.
Yeah, it's very, I'm the sunshine.
Yeah, yeah.
On that
You're the
show.
Sunshine, yeah. Like,
that's the thing, and I'm moody. So it's like dark, moody. Well, I could be happy moody, but I could just be like.
But I feel like those guys, like with their kind of humor anyway, isn't, you know, it's probably going to tilt you toward the darker mood.
Yeah, this is a date, don't bring a date kind of show. This is like a, dude's night show or whatever, the goth show.
Goth show.
Dark, it's dark humor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I feel like that's
dark,
different than goth.
The humor.
Yeah, yeah.
Dana. It's been fun, though. I'm sorry.
Good, yeah. And so that's two more shows tonight, 8 and 10:30.
Yep.
Dana?
If you want to find out what shows I'm doing locally, I can't think of them off the top of my head right now.
Just
them up. But if you go to my website at danaalicomic.com, pretty much we'll have them for all the local shows in Minneapolis and St. Paul.
And your international shows, too.
I'm actually part of the Super Muslim Comedy Tour right now, so I'm pretty stoked.
See, plug that.
That's great. Yeah,
yeah. So in Fremont, California and Houston, Texas, you can see me as part of a lineup of stellar Muslim comics.
Nice.
When are those shows?
It's going to be March 25th and then April 1st. So
that's great.
Yeah, pretty excited.
You guys are really plugging the show in Texas like that?
They're plugging the show in Texas.
Austin? I mean, all of Texas?
It's Houston, Texas. Houston. We're going to be in Houston.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Depends on the side.
Right.
Like, they got brown people, too.
On the south side of Houston. But I wouldn't say it the day of, just make sure nothing happens in between now. I'm sorry.
No.
It's cool. I'm a tough broad. I'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say that's everything Trump is against is things that are super, Muslims, comedy.
And comedy.
Moving,
everything I am, he is against, and it's okay for me.
Yeah, exactly.
You are his nothing but nemesis.
I am Muslim, a woman, black, and smart, so it's very scary for him on many levels.
0-4 as far as Trump's concerned. Yeah. 0-4. And then I will be at Dangerfields Comedy Club in Shakopee next Friday and Saturday. I don't think they might have a website. I don't know. Have you done Dangerfields?
I've done Dangerfields before.
Yeah.
I believe it's still. Is it in the
It's in the basement of the restaurant.
Yeah. It's been a while, but it was fun.
Yeah. I had
Dangerfields, what's up, man? I'm available. Tell someone to.
Yeah, I haven't been there either.
Yeah,
well, I've been there for shows, but
I think it's Entertainment Max that books or something. I guess I'm still on an email list. Because, like, every once in a while, I get an email from a booker that I haven't heard of or haven't heard from in like 3 years.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on Chuck to call me back.
Don't say the F word.
Or anything about Native Americans. But he says Indians and then says don't say nothing about Native Americans.
There's the...
Anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of inside baseball now at this point. But, like, it's really, like, kind of, like, a little bit tone deaf. There's this guy, Chuck. He books the Black Bear Casino in Duluth. I remember one time, this was shortly after, like, the floods had hit or whatever, and he was just trying to do some crowd work. And he literally said, clap if you lost your home. I was like, what are you? No, don't make them clap if they lost their home. Clap for something else.
But it is also, it's the casino, so could lose your home.
Absolutely. So there's many other ways to lose your home in a casino, too. If it's a flood, at least maybe there's some insurance money you can collect.
Right.
All right, let's get down to it then. Black Panther.
Yeah.
Greg ran into me at Ho-Ho's in St. Paul.
Yeah.
Last week, Black Panther. Shout out to Ho-Ho's. Mm-hmm. Great egg rolls. Great wings.
Yep. Gotta get the gold sauce.
Absolutely. You had just seen Black Panther.
Yeah.
And I was going to see it.
Yeah.
Now I've seen it, so we can talk about it. Dana, you saw it how many times?
Twice. I'm going to see it a third time today.
That's what's up. I was thinking
Wakanda forever.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'm still repping Zamunda from Coming to America. That's my time. You know what I mean? Everyone's hopping on this Wakanda. I was like, cool.
I was going to ask that. So this... What movie before this one do you, if any, has had like this sort of like cultural impact?
Madea.
Madea.
That was it. All right, Madea goes to space. It is a blast off.
Madea Geddon.
Probably.
She's all six astronauts. Right. It was Kevin Hart. Yeah, yeah.
And Ice Cube.
Ice Cube's got to be in it. He's in everything now. Got to be.
Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
There's too many snakes on this spaceship. Is that a snake ship? Is it a spaceship or a snake ship?
Ice Cube's going to be in Black Panther 2. Give me the vibranium.
I didn't really have a movie that, like, really helped represent me prior to Panther, really.
To me it's so
like real to me because I am from Africa, so it was like,
yeah, but it's not a real, like, it's
I know but like the culture, they took so many different things from other African cultures, and I could spot each of them while watching the movie, and at the same time even the language they spoke was it was a language from South Africa.
Yeah, they did it South Africa, and then was it West Africa?
Yep, they did a lot of West Africa. Yeah, it was like a mishmash of all the things I love about the continent I miss, and it was so it was I haven't had that. Like before, I mean, I've always gotten like super pumped about like Luke Cage, you know what I mean? I was like there's like I get pumped about characters, but like
Craig's reaction to Luke Cage was just the saddest, eyes down, turning his head. Not a fan or
no, I love Luke Cage, man. All right. Luke Cage is fantastic.
Seemed like you were disappointed based on that reaction when you brought it up.
No, I missed him.
Oh, you miss him. Okay.
Yeah, but I was just trying to think of other places that did represent, but that's crazy though. Isn't like that it takes one movie to represent so much of a continent.
Yeah.
You know, but I think like you're going to have to see it a little bit more, and because I think that's why Fast and Furious is so successful.
Mm-hmm.
The storylines are super stupid.
Yep.
But somebody from every continent represented, and this one is, it's, you know,
the
it's
United
just Africa,
Nations
but, yeah.
without speed limits.
Like, you got to go global. Like that's what I'm feeling. You got to go global.
Yeah.
In order to like hugely be successful, but
you have to have the diversity of the narrative, and it's definitely a movie that does that. So
yeah, that's crazy.
What there's going to be spinoffs, obviously.
Yeah.
Right. Were you familiar with the character before this came out? I mean, aside from his appearance in Civil War or whatever.
Yeah, I found the Black Panther comic books in college, so I was pretty like it was kind of like, because I've been a nerd since I could read, so so like I found the Black
What about a nerd who can't read?
I'm a nerd.
Well, technically, I'm not sure what this says.
So, like, I found comic books young, and so when I found Black Panther, I was like, why am I just finding this now? And like, I only could get my hands on like three issues at like a used bookstore, and it was amazing. And then I, you know, the internet blew up for me, and then I started finding it online. So.
as you found the internet in college. You're so young. You're so adorable.
And, really?
Yeah. I mean, because we're old. Like, I don't know. I knew about Black Panther, like, forever. But, like, I was cool with comic books, but I didn't, like, dive in. I didn't have a collection. But I knew of Black Panther for a long time. But I wasn't like, oh, this is it. You know, like, I had a father. He was active.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, superheroes really weren't. I'm sorry. Come hang out with us if you want to.
It was really funny. A mutual friend of all of us, he's been on the show before, Ollie Salton. I thought it was funny when he was I think the week Black Panther had come out, he talked about like all the other black movies that had come before. But it was like Steel, like Shaquille O'Neal playing Steel or Kazam. Like Tour Shaq.
Pootie Tang, is my favorite black superhero.
Shaft.
Yeah.
Is he a super, he's probably not a superhero. He's more of a...
He's a sex machine.
He's a sex machine for all the chicks,
Yeah, but we had... So, who did we have? Yeah, you could say Luke Cage, maybe, but we had Meteor Man, which Robert Townsend.
Oh, yep.
You have Blank Man.
Wasn't Bill Cosby one?
I've never
Wasn't he a superhero in a movie? Wasn't he?
No, but Bill. Well, no, he was Ghost Dad. If that's close.
I suppose not. I don't. I wouldn't.
Which is
that.
Probably now you think about it.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
a dude, a role Bill Cosby should have played. Like, no, I'm invisible. No. Yeah.
Probably laughing you.
The last guy with the power of invisibility should be Bill Cosby. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, we did have black heroes before Black Panther.
Well, we'll continue with this topic right after the break coming up. You're listening to Laughing Matters on AM 950. My guests, Dana Ali, Greg Coleman. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Flowers and my love,
oh, that was a lot of things,
never to come back. I see people turn their heads and quickly look away.
Warning. Last year, over 40,000 Americans died in car-related accidents. Not a pleasant thought, is it? In fact, as thoughts go, it's downright depressing. Well, that's where we can help cheer you up. We're StandUpRecords.com, and we offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, downloads, and merchandise from the best comedians on Earth. Artists like Marc Maron, Maria Bamford, Eddie Pepitone, and Doug Stanhope. Available at fine record stores, Amazon.com, and the iTunes Music Store. That's StandUpRecords.com. Come on, listen to us while you're driving. Live dangerously.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio.
And I'm Karen. Join us every Saturday at 8 a.m. It's all about food, you know, Laura.
Right, the health of the planet. You know, carbon-based farming can solve the climate crisis.
Well, because community is medicine.
And it's not about one seed to rule them all anymore.
One seed rules the world.
Yeah, let's have something else. Let's, like, worry about our individual health, our community health, the health of the planet, while eating food.
Yeah, because it's all tied to food.
So listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m.
on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Imagine a world where no one ever went hungry. Where you didn't have to choose between clean air and clean water. And where bitter, drunken comedians didn't have to work in small, dark clubs to tell you how severely screwed up everything is. If that kind of world scares you the way it scares us, then we can help. We're StandUpRecords.com. We offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, and merchandise from the best stand-up comedians on Earth. So please give generously. And remember, together we can't save the world. Yeah, no, we can't. So you may as well just buy something funny. That's StandUpRecords.com.
Hi, it's Tom inviting you to the Blue State Ball VIP reception on Saturday, March 10th at the Blaisdell. VIP starts at 5:30, where you can meet and take selfies with me, Norman Goldman, and other AM 950 hosts. The reception is a hosted bar with butler passed hors d'oeuvres, great music from Paul Metza, and signed book giveaways. Then stick around for general admission at 7. So come mingle with me, Norman Goldman, and other AM 950 hosts during the Blue State Ball VIP reception. VIP tickets are at am950radio.com. I'll see you at the Blue State Ball.
Warning, stand-up records may cause intestinal distress, fits of insane laughter, instant diarrhea, existential malaise, headaches, nausea, dizziness, vomiting, seasonal affective disorder, more headaches, pneumomono ultramicroscopic silicovolcanoconiosis. Stand-up records should not be handled by women who are pregnant, may become pregnant, have ever been pregnant, or personally know anyone who has been pregnant. Do not consult your doctor if he's operating heavy machinery. Stand-up records is for external application only. And stand-up records is, of course, good for a few laughs. So remember that standuprecords.com for the world's finest comedy CDs, DVDs, and merchandise. That's standuprecords.com. The revolution will be hilarious.
Oh, baby. Yeah. Y'all know who it is. It's a white chocolate radio man. Here to get your political fix and all your kicks on Laughing Matters, baby, with Robert Burrell.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Greg. I will never be cooler in my life. That's Greg Coleman, my other guest, Dana Ali. Two very funny comics. Check them out. Greg's at Acme tonight. Dana is all over the world.
Yeah.
Doing comedy, super Muslim comedy tour.
Yep.
Check them out online for some tour dates. They're in Houston,
Houston, Fremont, New York, but I'm going to be in Fremont and in Houston. So
Fremont and Houston.
Yeah. But she's going to kill it, and then you're going to go on the New York show.
We'll find out.
Believe in yourself.
Yeah. Believe in yourself. Best of luck. You know who also believed in himself? Blade. Let's get back. My producer mentioned we forgot Blade in that last segment. Black Panther. Why is Blade the reason
Blade
for all
so
of this?
For like Marvel.
Oh,
like
right.
Marvel was about to tank, and then Blade made money, and then they kept pushing.
And Wesley Snipes, like, he really wanted to play Black Panther. Like, before he got the role as Blade, like, he was really hardcore pushing, like, the studios to make it. He even, like, wrote a couple of scripts for it. He wrote some pilot scripts for it. Like, he desperately wanted, like, it was his dream to be to be Black Panther, and then
the
nobody
IRS.
Would make it.
I was going
to
say,
it's the IRS's dream.
To knock him down.
But he did. He played a black superhero. Besides Blade, he was Willie Mays Hayes in Major League.
That's true. Take that from him.
Hayes hit like Mays.
He gets to keep that.
The IRS can't take roles you've already shot from you.
You know what I mean? That's why he played 2-1 Fu. He's like, I ain't whistling. Yeah. Pay my taxes. I'm with Lana.
That is such a good movie.
Yeah. $400 million or so.
Blade made there were like three Blade movies, right?
Yeah.
Two. So that was a whole franchise.
I only cared about the first two.
Was there anything about Black Panther that didn't do it for you, or that they could improve upon for the next one?
I like how we both got silent.
Well, yeah.
We were like, what was
Robert,
that about it?
Our blackness won't allow us to directly answer that.
Listen.
You know what I mean?
Let me ask you this. What was your opinion of Martin Freeman's impersonation of a white man? Did you... portrayal of a white man. Did it resonate with you? Was it... Yep.
He portrayed how white people should behave around black culture. that moment where he was like, I'm going to spoil some things for some people, I guess.
I don't want to stereotype or anything.
No.
We might have a diverse audience.
Right.
But I think it's fair to say that, you know.
You should, yeah.
There's a scene
AM
where he's. 950
listeners might not have seen Black Panther yet.
Maybe. But there was a scene where he, the Ape King, where he was like sitting there and he was trying to like interject into the conversation, and then everybody in the room went just, ooh. It was a movie. It was that moment. I was like, I was in the theater, just snapping my fingers, like, yes.
Yeah.
That's like somebody in the room going, yeah, but you know, like, all lives matter. Hey.
Yeah. But it also, it's kind of a teaser for something that happens later too, to like great emotional effect when they like establish that. So it serves two purposes. The one is like shutting him down, and then later on you. Yeah. You know, kind of like...
He did. He had like a...
Yeah.
He played a good role in
that. Yeah, so it was like, you know, it's not like... We didn't need the white man at all. It was just, needed you a little bit.
Exactly. Do a little... But it also wasn't like...
But it wasn't like
NWA, where
it
was...
Where it's awkward. Yeah, just yeah, white guy. Like,
all I see are white people is just like Jewish guys and cops. That's all they have portraying. They're like, well, no, there's a positive white guy in this thing. But yeah, it wasn't like, you know, a Tom Cruise last, or whatever, where he's like saving Asian people or Matt Damon or something. Where it's
like Kevin Costner, where it's like,
all we need is this liberal white guy to save all these
the Mexican
native people. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Can we talk about, I forgot his name, Sarkis, who played the villain, who played Claw? I was like, I'm gonna be waiting for it. His portrayal of a villain is like my second favorite of all time. Like, it goes Darth Vader and now Claw. Like, because it is just, he was just crazy funny the entire time to me.
Yeah, he was cool. I guess Claw was cool. I guess my only knock would be I wish it had a little bit more connection to some of the other Marvels. Or maybe how this is going to connect to that. Like, they went back and when they had the Wachovia Agreement or the UN.
They
touched on that a bit. But, like, overall as a standalone movie, it was very entertaining. And, it was cool. But Marvel nerdy, you're like,
oh, I want a little bit more. Yeah, a little
tie into some
this
stuff. At the end.
Yeah, well, and I feel like, too, it's, I mean, you can kind of do that with just the character of Black Panther. Like, I like the universe, like, for what it was and, like, the idea of, like, tainting it with, like, I don't know, Hulk or something coming into it. Might be like, that's kind of...
Let's not turn Wakanda into what New York was after, after all the characters went through.
I thought, like, I could have used maybe just a little bit more humor, but I also feel like it wasn't that important.
You didn't think Shuri was hilarious?
Who?
Shuri, the princess? You didn't think she was funny?
I thought she was funny.
Yeah,
poor
girl. No, just messing around. I have to say, just to shake it up for this one.
I think part of it was just, like, coming on, well, not necessarily on the heels, because a lot of time elapsed, but, like, exactly, coming from, like, Thor Ragnarok, which was basically a comedy, the whole thing was a comedy, to then this one, which was super good, but, like, kind of heavy, and, like, Shakespearean and stuff, and you're like, oh, I kind of miss Thor just slamming a guy for a little while, because this is all really heavy, but, I mean, they incorporated a little bit of humor into it, too,
It is what it is, but I think, and I don't know if they took some humor out just because they're like, hey, we can't make this a joke. Or maybe some of the flack that some people did get from Thor, who were like, why is this a comedy and blah, blah, blah. So, but, you know.
Yeah, I think it was a good balance. The thing that actually, and I think we talked about this earlier, was that how T'Challa, like Black Panther himself, wasn't he basically wasn't like the main character of the movie. He was almost like a supporting role to all the other characters in the movie. Like, things were just happening around him and to him, and he wasn't like, and it was fine. Like, I thought it was
he wasn't pushing the issue on a lot of things.
But I mean, I thought it was fine because you got all these other great characters that kind of shined through it. But
and the fact that, like, other people can be Black Panther too. It's kind of like democratic meritocracy sort of thing where it's, I mean, I guess monarchy because he was the son of
James
the king.
Bond is kind
but,
of like,
but you can challenge him. And it's like, there isn't, it's not like an Iron Man where there's just one of them. And like, and you just hope he comes around.
Tony Stark throwing around Tony Stark weight.
It's crazy though that anyone could be Black Panther and they just have to challenge him to you know, fight or like
and then at any time battle. Too like what if you're hungover, you ate a lot of like Chinese food the night before and it's like, I challenge you, like, man, give me a day.
I can't Black Panther 400 mil
put this in the calendar for later
and climbing. We'll be back with more Laughing Matters right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Warning, stand-up records may cause intestinal distress, fits of insane laughter, instant diarrhea, existential malaise, headaches, nausea, dizziness, vomiting, seasonal affective disorder, more headaches, pneumomono ultramicroscopic silicovolcanoconiosis. Stand-up records should not be handled by women who are pregnant, may become pregnant, have ever been pregnant, or personally know anyone who has been pregnant. Do not consult your doctor if he's operating heavy machinery. Stand-up records is for external application only. And stand-up records is, of course, good for a few laughs. So remember that standuprecords.com for the world's finest comedy CDs, DVDs, and merchandise. That's standuprecords.com. The revolution will be hilarious.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio.
And I'm Karen. Join us every Saturday at 8 a.m. It's all about food, you know, Laura.
Right, the health of the planet. You know, carbon-based farming can solve the climate crisis.
Well, because community is medicine.
And it's not about one seed to rule them all anymore.
One seed rules the world.
Yeah, let's have something else. Let's, like, worry about our individual health, our community health, the health of the planet, while eating food.
Yeah, because it's all tied to food.
So listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m.
on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Warning, stand-up records may cause intestinal distress, fits of insane laughter, instant diarrhea, existential malaise, headaches, nausea, dizziness, vomiting, seasonal affective disorder, more headaches, pneumomono, ultramicroscopic silicovolcanoconiosis. Stand-up records should not be handled by women who are pregnant, may become pregnant, have ever been pregnant, or personally know anyone who has been pregnant. Do not consult your doctor if he's operating heavy machinery. Stand-up records is for external application only. And stand-up records is, of course, good for a few laughs. So remember that standuprecords.com for the world's finest comedy CDs, DVDs, and merchandise. That's standuprecords.com. The revolution will be hilarious.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug from Hidden Edges Radio. When I'm not on the radio, I'm standing in front of audiences training about diversity and inclusion and on how to be welcoming to others who are different from us. More than ever, employers and organizations need professional diversity and inclusion training. I can offer that training through my company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I'd love to make your workplace or organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
You know, here at Stand Up Records, when we say we have the best names in comedy, we're not messing around. In fact, we were there first, with comedians who went on to become household names. Names like Hannibal Buress, Maria Bamford, the Sklar Brothers, Doug Stanhope, Mark Maron, and Louis Black. So why not head on over to standuprecords.com or amazon.com or the iTunes Music Store and pick up a classic CD, DVD, or download of the best comedians working today. And check out some of our other artists, because you never know who the next big thing will be. That's standuprecords.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Tonight we'll see snow piling up to a possible 5 inches and lows around 19. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high near 31, and Monday will also be mostly sunny with a high near 37. Most Tax Service has been working for you, not the IRS, since 1971. They're located in Highland Park in St. Paul and are one of the largest sites that electronically files taxes in the country. Call 612-721-2026 or visit mosttax.com. That's M-O-H-S-Tax.com.
And we're back with more Laughing Matters here in the fields of Eden Prairie.
Why would that be in the fields? Why would
that, it's, no, it's, you're like, you got two black ass.
That's Roger Daltrey's lyric. I'm not claiming responsibility for that one. My guests, Greg Coleman, Dana Ali, thanks again for doing the show. Sponsors, Stand Up Records. Check them out online, standupcrap.com. Buy my album, Sex and Politics.
It's a wonderfully funny album, too.
It is.
Oh,
thank
you.
Saying
that, thank you, Greg. Oh. So let's bring our Black Panther conversation to a conclusion. But I want to talk about the main villain in it, because I love that character.
Killmonger or Sarkis?
Yeah. Well,
we're talking Klaw or are we talking Killmonger?
Killmonger. Killmonger. I guess. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Not the white guy with the beard and the
arm.
Yeah, yeah. The arm.
Yeah, because go ahead.
What? Oh, no. Some people are still trying to figure out if Killmonger is really a villain. Mm-hmm. Like in the comic books.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the way in the movie, Killmonger kind of represented how a lot of people felt. Mm-hmm. And so I guess some people don't want to identify themselves as the villain.
I think that's a testament to like good writing, though, and like complexity of characters where maybe you can't call him that. I just did, because again, you have like the dichotomy of like, well, he's the hero. This guy's fighting the hero. So, okay. But
yeah. I wish it was. Tough because I like Michael B. Jordan, but it's hard not to layer like that's Michael B. Jordan, that's not Killmonger, you know what I mean? That's Apollo Creed some right there, dude. You know, that's the tough part about going from big role to big role, but it was cool, like I liked it, like it was cool.
His character was probably the breakout star for me for that movie, because it was the dynamicness of that character was because everyone can kind of identify themselves a little bit as Killmonger, in the sense that, like, you feel betrayed by something. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody somewhere has done you wrong, and so, like, you live your life trying to, like, get back to, you know, the goodness of it. And he had some of the best lines too. And then his last line in the movie, like, damn, like, literally, that was audible in the entire theater. Just, you could just hear every person just go, damn, like, in that scene.
And I feel like you almost need characters like that to play off of Black Panther, who's great, but still, you know, just kind of monotone, kind of calm, almost like a Superman kind of, like, you know, he's noble and he has all these good qualities. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, in a sense, it's easy to root for him, but on the other hand, you can't really relate to him because you're like, he's just kind of better than us.
He's a better guy than all of us. And you're like, all right, cool, man. But, like, just show some weakness, you know what I mean? Like, we rooted for Jack Bauer, even though he had a heroin addiction. You know what I mean?
We like Tony Stark, even though he's kind of a jerk. Like, so yeah, but yeah, I think, and that's what I meant, like, by Black Panther not necessarily being he's the main character, but he's also the supporting character in a way, because his one toneness of, like, nobility, needing to do the right thing, like, not have any faults, allowed all these other dynamic characters around him to shine more.
Yeah, like, Black Panther, T'Challa's like the best cousin.
Yeah. Like,
T'Challa's coming high, man.
Why can't you be more like T'Challa?
Exactly.
Pick up your stuff. He can't know that we live in a messy place.
T'Challa's like the son that every mother wants. Yeah. Sorry, you got
four. T'Challa got into medical school, but it's on you.
He's that boyfriend that just keeps waiting. It's like, man, it's like date five. I'm into you. Like, no, this is... We need to make sure it's for real.
A little,
like,
bit, T'Challa.
Come on. Yeah, man, really? Yeah.
He did have one weakness. What's her face?
Lupita. Yeah, his ex-girlfriend. But I'm sure he broke up with her because he's like, I have to go study. We cannot be. I
want to know what that breakup was about. It's probably that. It's probably.
Yeah.
Or he cheated. I'm trying to make him a little bit more human. Yeah.
In the comic book, his love interest was Storm.
Yeah, they got married.
Yeah, they got married.
And they have kids.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if, like, the breakup.
Nah, they gotta leave Storm dead. I feel like Halle Berry. No, but Halle Berry killed her. Like,
and Catwoman.
The excitement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, in the comic book, they had an issue in Wakanda about kicking out mutants, and so that caused their rift. So.
Okay, well, you've read the comics. Okay, so what if they stay true to the comics? What can new fans of Black Panther expect in future possible storylines?
My favorite storyline: Black Panther versus the Klan.
The Klan, nice. Timely.
That was an issue.
They're
very
present.
Stanley and Kirby, they were told that this comic book is too black, is what they were told when they were making it. Like, this is too political, it's too black.
Stanley was told he was too black.
Right. Two Jewish dudes from New York were told they were too black. And
I bet they loved it, too. They're like, call everybody.
Call
the Beastie Boys. Call Michael Rappaport.
So then they were like, all right.
Michael Rappaport.
Rappaport's mad he wasn't in this movie.
So they were like, all right, next issue, Black Panther versus the Klan. And that was literally the response to it. We're like, this is our comic book. We can do whatever we want. So,
that would be something. And he's in the upcoming one, right?
Infinity War.
Infinity War.
Yeah.
And here goes the thing. Not to blow it for people, but $500 million worth of people have seen it.
Yeah.
Killmonger is also in Infinity War. They show it in the preview.
Yeah.
That was the one knock, like, Marvel people had, like, at the Super Bowl when they had the huge act. Mm-hmm. Like, if you paid attention, there was T'Challa and Killmonger in that one.
Yeah.
So they left it how they left it in Black Panther, but people are like, oh, well, I guess, you know, what happens at the train isn't...
Because he did take the heart thing, too, so he could technically still live.
Yeah. All right, cool. No, I forgot about that. All right, we'll leave that. We'll leave that hanger.
Well, that's
nerd part of it.
Yep, you're right. You did find the nerd loophole.
Which is way more clever than just Carrie Putting Fisher vibranium. In Star Wars floating outside
Screw
the ship.
Screw that movie!
We're not gonna get into it. Dana, if you...
Another day.
Yeah,
another
come
day.
To Dana's show afterwards, and then you can hear her vent
rant
about how
much...
Carrie Fisher should not have survived that.
Mm-mm.
Well,
you
Princess
talk about
Leia.
Star Wars?
Princess Leia.
Huh?
Yeah, talking about Star Wars.
Yeah.
So you're just complaining about one of the scenes in the movie.
Killed it for me.
My bad, Star Trek.
But in the whole Infinity War thing, just to go further down the nerd rabbit hole, which I feel like, you know what, why not? This is politics 24/7 on this station, so we can
Let's
mix it up
it.
A little bit. The whole thing behind the villain in it, Thanos? Is that it?
Thanos.
Yeah.
Which
Thanos?
Happens to just be a big orange
but he like,
being.
He like kills. Yeah. Isn't he purple or is he orange in the?
Close.
In real life, he's
not,
orange.
He's a weird color. That's it.
But like in the comic books, he like he's kills Avengers, right? Like he's so strong that he. And so that's kind of what they're hinting at, I guess, is that some Avengers won't survive.
Because they're contractor.
One of the two movies. Yeah. Well, that's the question. Is like, who's
what it is.
Who's going to be bumped up? Obviously not Black Panther, because this movie has made hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, and he's got a five-movie contract.
Yeah, exactly. So that's not going to happen.
3M right now, because
Civil War,
yeah. Black Panther, and then
Infinity War. Yeah. So two more Black Panther movies.
But, like, now they're talking, like, maybe Iron Man, because he started the whole thing, and that'd be a good way to be like, well, the old generation's done, these are the new guys. Or he just takes on a more, like, Samuel Jackson, he just pops in every now and then, is like, hey, I'm Iron Man, I'll...
He's
boom,
made
shot
so
that.
Much
good.
Movie, so much money in all these movies. I could see them being like, let's retire that character.
But I could see
this
Robert Downey Jr.
This is too big of a budget.
Like, you know, I could still use a few more million in case I relapse and... You know, there's coke and a handgun in my truck or something. I could use the most expensive lawyer I can find. But maybe Captain America. I heard that he might.
Captain America goes
not
off.
Survive.
He turns into Nomad.
Oh, okay.
In this one, so he like strips himself
so he does
of the Captain America brand and goes off on the Nomad.
So who do you have any predictions for who's not going to survive?
Deathpool. Ooh, I love a Deathpool.
I feel like it's gonna be lame if it's just a supporting, like if it's like Hawkeye, you're like, oh, well, kudos for killing off a character that doesn't have his own movie. And when they showed his loving family in Civil War, I was like, oh, he's gone. And they kept him around. I was like, oh, okay.
They always make you love a character before they knock him out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I kind of want. I think it would
I feel
be
like
big.
Thor and Hulk are probably safe because that's like a buddy comedy. Yeah.
But I think it would be interesting if Thor did end because he's also one of those characters that don't have any flaws. In other words, like he can pretty much just kill anything. Yeah. Like
and Hemsworth has like other projects. He's not just depending on Thor. Like I'll do other stuff.
And I think here goes the one thing about I don't necessarily care about Thor's planet like that.
Yeah.
Anymore. I was like, yo, why do they keep just letting people out? Like, all right, but cool, whatever.
Listen, every time someone leaves your world, everything else dies. Why don't y'all just stay?
Like, y'all just, you and Idris keep those dreads up there and the great beyond.
Do you think Idris didn't realize Black Panther was an option when he signed on? Like, now he's like, I'm with the Norwegians over here, and you guys...
I'm the token black guy in this Norwegian movie? Like, what?
Yeah.
I bet he's pissed.
I'm the Martin Terrence Freeman. I'm the Martin Freeman
Terrence Howard's
Thor's
man.
World.
Yeah.
Terrence Howard. I could have been a Black Panther man.
Yeah, Terrence. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just Ant-Man. Actually, I'm hoping Ant-Man goes.
Well, he's got another movie coming out though. Him and Wasp. I feel like if they have a new movie coming out, that probably means that's why I'm leaning toward maybe Iron Man or Captain America.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they're gonna go. They're definitely all. It's gonna be the Red Wedding.
I feel like that would be the ultimate act of self-sacrifice for either Stark or Captain.
Because
like Captain America is like the hero started it all. Whereas like Tony Stark is like that selfish.
Yeah.
But you still kind of root for him anyway. So it's like, oh, I know I drove my wife away and I got all these, like, the most flawed one. And so, like,
that'd be a real flex if they just killed everybody. And then at the end, it was just like, that's how you do it, Game of Thrones. That'd be it.
I don't know. I want to go in it with no expectations. So I'm.
No, after all the comic books you've read, you don't think this one, Ant-Man?
I personally just want Ant-Man to go because I'm tired of Ant-Man. But that's just a personal
Paul
thing.
Rudd?
Paul Rudd. It's just Ant-Man is like, is I don't know why that's a franchise. Like,
it does seem weird to be its own franchise.
Right?
He gets really small.
And I know. Then he gets really big. Why isn't he big all the time?
Back to Apache Chief.
Yeah.
Right?
That's going to be the next one.
I don't know. It's just not my favorite.
Yeah. That's fair. All right, Greg, did you, your death pull, who are you?
I think they should just get rid of everybody.
Oh, that's right. That's
Red
what
Wedding
you're saying.
Stuff.
Yeah, like, yo, this is how strong we are. Then we're going to start up again with something else.
Next generation.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to say no to the multi-million-dollar franchises they have.
No, I'm saying, but they got more stuff.
Okay.
I think they're just going to buy it. We're so good.
I think they make more money with the newness of it if they went with something.
Well, we'll find out whenever that movie comes out.
It's a summer, I guess.
And we'll be back with more Laughing Matters right after this.
Afro Man. Marvel presents Afro Man. Before I got
high, come on, y'all.
Check it out.
I could have cheated and I could have passed.
Dave Waite, hot dog.
Sometimes I think I should go see a therapist. I know that's something you can't say in the Midwest. It's probably more comfortable to fart on an elevator and tell everybody to get a whiff.
The all-new album from StandUpRecords.com.
We went to Milwaukee because my dad was collecting postcards at the time, so we drove 7 hours in a car to see tiny pictures of other better vacations.
Now available from StandUpRecords.com, the iTunes Music Store, and Amazon.com. Dave Waite, hot doggin'.
All right.
Have you got your tickets for the Blue State Ball yet? Time is running out. They're going fast. Hi, it's Mike McEntee. I plan to be at the Blue State Ball on March 10th. Will you be there? Norman Goldman will be there. So will Tom Hartman, who will be signing his books, by the way. So will our own Matt McNeil and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Fry. Paul Metza from AM950's Wall of Power Radio Hour will be playing the music for Jammin' Good Time. Food will be from D'Amico. Minnesota Brewed Drinks from Ambivious. You won't want to miss it. Mark your calendar now for March 10th at the Blaisdell. VIP reception with hors d'oeuvres and a hosted bar at 5:30 p.m. and general admission at 7 p.m. And then get set for some inspirational speeches from some great speakers. It's made possible with the help of our sponsors, Howling for Wolves, Common Good Books, and Northern Sun. So go to am950radio.com right now and get your tickets to the Blue State Ball. See you there.
Northeast Minneapolis is known for its creativity, and you'll know exactly why when you eat at Hazel's Northeast. Their creatively prepared comfort food will have you coming back week after week. Breakfasts like biscuits and gravy, granola pancakes, and brisket hash. For lunch, homemade soup, and one of the best Reubens in town. And don't miss the daily risotto or Chef Ali's ever-changing dinner specials. Come on in. Bring the whole family. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family-owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis.
Hi, I'm Matt McNeil, and I want to encourage you to join me weekday afternoons at 3 p.m. for the Matt McNeil Show. It's a Twin Cities-based full hour of talk where we discuss what's going on in the state and in the nation from a Minnesota perspective. We'll be joined by a lot of great guests, and we'll take your phone calls. Interact with us on the Twitter page, at Matt McNeil Show, the Facebook page, Progressive Citizen X, the Matt McNeil Show, and on email, comment at am950radio.com. The Matt McNeil Show, weekday afternoons at 3, right here on AM950.
Imagine a world where no one ever went hungry. Where you didn't have to choose between clean air and clean water. And where bitter, drunken comedians didn't have to work in small, dark clubs to tell you how severely screwed up everything is. If that kind of world scares you the way it scares us, then we can help. We're StandUpRecords.com. We offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, and merchandise from the best stand-up comedians on earth. So please give generously. And remember, together we can't save the world. Yeah, no, we can't. So you may as well just buy something funny. That's StandUpRecords.com.
Riding through those clouds and
And we're back with more Laughing Matters here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Brought to you by Stand Up Records. Check them out online, standupcrap.com. Buy my album, Sex and Politics. My guest, Greg Coleman, Dana Ali. Greg, you can catch at Acme Comedy Company tonight. Start driving there now. Shows at 8 and 10:30. Dana is on tour. Super Muslim comedy tour. Check her out. What's your website again?
DanaAliComic.com.
DanaAliComic.com. See Black Panther. And we only got one segment left. This went by fast. I knew it would. You guys have been great. Thanks again for doing it. This is the most outrageous. You don't think you can get any more outrageous. Satire is dead. You can't. Mm-hmm. You can't. There's no angles when it's the real news. Trump, one of Trump's responses to the most recent school shooting, Florida. First off, did you see where he had the notes?
Yeah.
That, like, how to conduct yourself among survivors?
Say, I hear you. That was my favorite. Like, you have to write, you need sympathy. You need to teach this man sympathy, apparently. And, oh, God, it would suck to be his babysitter.
I'll put it like this, though. Like, I believe Trump is having the most fun as a president because I feel like he's a dude who's just doing what you think you could do when you're the president. Like, if I'm president,
yeah,
I'm like, yo, why don't we just do this? Why don't we try this? And he throws it out there, like, stupid ideas. Like, we see this, yo, if I'm the president, we should give everybody guns. Like, is that something to say with your friends? Like, not to the public.
Yeah, after a few beers and like,
he's just up till, waking up at 3 a.m., tweeting
at, oh, God.
And one of his recommendations was to arm teachers. Greg, you and I both work with children.
This is true.
Are guns, would you consider...
No.
Would you consider arming yourself?
I get my walkie-talkie taken 3 times a day.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't... No, man.
I feel the same way. I set down my coffee mug, my pen, that's picked up.
Right.
I can't... There was actually... And again, who knows whether or not stuff is true anymore with links to articles... Because, like, I'll see him, but I really click on him because I'm doing other stuff. And then they're like, well, maybe that's real. Maybe that's some
Russian
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was like a kid found a gun in his teacher's desk or something. And the kid had the gun. And it's like, how is this any better?
Yeah. In a district here in Minnesota, maybe 2 weeks ago, a kid discharged an officer's gun. Like a trained officer. And he was like, I didn't feel it. Right? Because they got those tiny little hands and they're just like, whatever. And that could have been a whole nother situation. And that's with a trained professional. And that's what's up. And I don't know. Everyone's giving that dude flack too in
Which
Texas.
Dude?
The officer who was outside.
Yeah.
And didn't come in. And I think that really kills that superhero narrative that everyone with guns, like, well, I got a gun. And I'm going to do whatever I can. Like, no, that dude had the opportunity to go in, but he weighed the options.
There were other ones, too, right? Yeah. I saw a story the other day where it was like 4 deputies or something also didn't go in.
Yeah, because they're like, what are we going to do with these? Like, you're outgunned. If that kid had a pellet
AR.
Gun. Right? Yeah. If there was a pellet gun or something like, ding, 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 you're like, all right, cool, let's figure this out. But you, dot, dot. Like, what are we gonna do?
Yeah.
So I feel like that needs to go in the minds of some of these super tough guys who are like, well, if I got a gun, blah blah blah. Well, if you got all this time and all these guns, come sit outside of schools. Right? Like, don't come inside. You sit outside across the street and make sure nothing happens. But I feel it's the most stupid thing ever to think that teachers need guns. That's not what we need. We can't even get chalk. You know, or computers or iPads. Like, you know what I mean? Where are we going to get all these military-grade guns and all this stuff, dude?
In 2018, not only do you have to have a teaching certificate, but you also have to have a military background and training.
Like the requirements would go down, though. I feel like that's because you get the NRA there, and it's like, well, I mean, we trust teachers, right? Like, let's just give the teachers guns. They don't need the training, right?
Yeah. Oh, God.
And these guns aren't yours.
We're going to check them out. It's a checkout system.
Yeah, it's like the teachers already have, like, 8 meetings a week anyway. Like, let's just tack on another, you know, how to load your pistol seminar from 3:45 to 4:15 before volleyball.
Yep, and then you got to be cool with shooting a possible former student of yours.
Oh.
Right?
Or current. Yeah. And then what happens if teachers start fearing for their lives? Like, yeah, oh, he got it from his desk real quick. I feared from it. Then it's like the whole cop thing again.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Yep. Yeah. I definitely don't like that idea.
His comments, like every time he says, I'm talking about Trump, every time he says something weird, it's always like think of a situation and then think of the worst possible thing you could say in that moment. And then that's exactly what comes out of his mouth every damn time.
Part of it with Trump, though, is that there's so little forethought to anything he says. Mm-hmm. And he's not curious. He's not a reader. So it's just his own dumb logical brain that's like when he talked about how women should be punished for abortion, where it was like in his head, it's like abortion's not good. Women doing something not good.
Yeah.
Therefore.
So punish them. And then he said it and they're like, no, it's terrible. You can't do it. He's like, oh yeah, I won't do that. Like it just in his head though, it's just like guns make you safe. Put guns where people aren't safe. Yeah. Give guns to teachers. And people are like, no, that's a terrible idea. He's like, oh, I don't. Then look back at the note card.
Someone gave him like the first problem tool and then that's all he ran with. And that was it.
Aww. Yeah, man. It's just, it's a crazy state of affairs, man. Because like we're even at this point where we have meetings about this type of stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about like, all right, well, what are we supposed to do in the case of an emergency exit, which is normally head outside. But now it's like, yo, what do we do? Because this dude pulls a fire alarm and now that's what you're looking for. So now who do we need to look for? Where do we need to have secondary and third? Like a first grader asks his teacher, he's like, hey, what's our crisis plan? Like straight up, he's like, what's our exit strategy? And that's just exactly where we are now. And I remember people were getting weird, like, oh, what am I going to tell my kid about gay marriage?
Yeah.
Like, fam, two dudes love each other. And now it's like, oh, what are we going to tell our kids about our exit strategy?
Yeah.
Like straight up exit strategy. And I know a lot of people got all these, well, this is what we should do, but you guys aren't there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're not there. You're not in the schools. And it's a very real possibility that we have to deal with. Like every single year I go in, like every day I go into work with the possibility of, yo, this could get shot up. And what do we have to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So whatever you feel like the solution is.
Well, and then you have that, you kind of have that moral dilemma of like, okay, let's say there is one.
Yeah.
Like, do I love these kids enough? Like, is this is this gonna be my last stand for this jerk that was throwing cough drops at me 2 minutes ago and now I'm gonna have to
as he was going to the principal's office.
Deliberately misgendering me all week and now I gotta be his human shield.
Right? Like for real, fam. I'm like,
I don't have kids, but like
already got a case manager, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let me stop.
I don't have kids, but I can't imagine being a parent right now. That's got to be some tough. Like, you just think, my kid's going to go to school and it'll be okay. And now you're like, are they going to be okay? Like,
they're going to have to, like, leave their, you know, leave in the morning like World War One soldiers. Like, you know.
Just now you think about it. Getting bullied really ain't the first thing that can happen to you at school.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your week and go down to House of Comedy and check Greg out. Bye. It makes it